It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
I support impeaching this president.
I will fight every day until he is impeached.
It may well produce impeachment.
We're going to go in there. We're going to impeach the
motherfucker. Begin impeachment proceedings now.
We are introducing articles of impeachment to remove President Trump from office.
I rise today, Mr. Speaker, to call for the impeachment of the president.
You guys are going to be in a situation where you would have to possibly take a vote on the impeachment of Donald Trump. Would you vote yes or no?
I would vote yes.
I would vote to impeach.
Impeach 45! Impeach 45! Impeach 45! Don't forget!
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was not yesterday. It was not actually even after the alleged whistleblower, really the leaker, really the Eric Chiaramella. It's before he came out. This has been, you know, since right after Donald Trump was elected, the impeachment was discussed. You remember the attorney of the whistleblower had texted that the coup has begun. This was, 2 weeks or maybe less than that after the president was inaugurated. So, just to put context on what's happening on Capitol Hill, I wanted you to hear that. Sandy Rios in the morning with you. Happy to be. Let me just say that I was yesterday in the White House, in the West Wing, but talking about other things. And so I actually did not get to watch the hearings in real time. And so today what we're going to do, I'm going to recap. I've been watching, of course, this morning as much as I can, taking things in, listening to sound clips. But I'm assuming that lots of you watched it too, and I would really be interested to know what you thought about that. And I will open the phone lines, but not this minute, but I just want to set the table that if you listened and had some comments, observations, something that really struck you, you're going to be my guest this morning. No expert, just you. You guys are the experts because you are the ones that really matter. Honestly, you do, because we've got the Democrats who are intent on impeaching the president, and then we have a whole group of people who are fiercely defending the president. And so the question is, do you as the American people think that he's committed an impeachable offense? And if you do, then, you know, make your case. Do you think the Democrats made their case yesterday? Of course, it's just the first of, there'll be two more days, I think, of testimony or hearings next week. So we had round one yesterday. It was the opening remarks were Devin Nunes and also Adam Schiff making their case for their particular perspectives. And then you had a lot of back and forth with the two people, the star witnesses, George Kent and Bill Taylor. George Kent, Deputy Assistant Secretary for the State Department, a longtime Ukrainian expert, and Bill Taylor, who was the ambassador to Ukraine, both of them witnesses up on the stage yesterday. I thought it might be a good thing. In fact, I think it's really important for you to hear kind of the nut of Bill Taylor's testimony. And then I want you to hear the interaction. Remember, Jim Jordan was just moved to the Intelligence Committee. Remember, I told you that, what, day before yesterday? By the way, thank you to Fred Jackson for filling in yesterday. You were in very good hands, I know. In fact, I brought Fred's name up in the White House yesterday because I wanted them to know what fine work our news department does and who's behind that. So just a shout out to Fred. Bill Taylor, in his testimony, I think the nut of the new information that he gave yesterday was found in clip 5. Let's listen.
Last Friday, a member of my staff told me of events that occurred on July 26th. While Ambassador Volker and I visited the front, this member of my staff accompanied Ambassador Sondland. Ambassador Sondland met with Mr. Yermak. Following that meeting, in the presence of my staff, at a restaurant, Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations. Ambassador Sondland told President Trump the Ukrainians were ready to move forward. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for. At the time I gave my deposition on October 22nd, I was not aware of this information. I am including it here for completeness. As the committee knows, I reported this information through counsel to the State Department's legal advisor, as well as to counsel for both the majority and the minority of this committee. It is my understanding that the committee is following up.
All right, so this is the witness, and he's saying that at a restaurant, there was a phone call by a staffer at the table. It was with President Trump, and someone could hear, as the phone call was taking place at the table, someone sitting next to him was able to hear President Trump, and the comment is that President Trump cares more about this investigation that he does about Ukraine. So that's the astounding fresh information we got yesterday. I think it's kind of was put in perspective by Congressman John Ratcliffe yesterday when he asked George Kent and Bill Taylor the following question. This is clip three. Let's listen to this.
So in this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
Yeah. And they had nothing to say. Because really, it's just thin grail. It's just such thin grail. All right, so let's continue with this, because Jim Jordan then has an interaction with Bill Taylor. This is long, and I want you to hear it. Jim, again, just as of this week on the Intelligence Committee, was really the star, I think, yesterday. There were lots of stars, but he was, as a non-attorney, pretty amazing and pretty incredible. This is Jim Jordan grilling Ambassador to the Ukraine, Bill Taylor. Let's listen to clip six.
Aides held up on July 18th. Is that right?
That's when I first heard about it, Mr.
And then it's released, Ambassador Taylor, on September 11th. And we know that from your deposition, in those 55 days that aid is delayed, you met with President Zelensky three times. The first one was July 26th, the day after the famous call now between President Trump and President Zelensky. President Zelensky meets with you, Ambassador Volker, and Ambassador Sondland. And again, according to your deposition, your testimony, there was no linkage of security assistance dollars to investigating Burisma or the Bidens. Second meeting is August 27th. Again, in this 55-day time frame, second meeting is August 27th. President Zelensky meets with you and Ambassador Bolton and others. And again, there's no linkage of dollars, security assistance dollars, to an investigation of the Bidens. And then, of course, the third meeting is September 5th. President Zelensky meets with you and Senators Johnson and Murphy. And once again, there was no linkage of security assistance dollars to an investigation of Burisma or the Bidens. Three meetings with the president of Ukraine, the new president, and no linkage. That's accurate?
Ms. Jordan, certainly accurate on the first two meetings, because to my knowledge, the Ukrainians were not aware of the hold on assistance until the 29th of August.
So the Politico article.
The third meeting that you mentioned with the senators, Senator Murphy and Senator Johnson, there was discussion of the security assistance, but
no linkage.
But there was not discussion of linkage.
Three meetings face-to-face with President Zelensky, no linkage. Yet, in your deposition, you said this, and you said it again the first hour of the majority. My clear understanding was security assistance money would not come until President Zelensky committed to pursue the investigation. My clear understanding was they weren't going to get the money until President Zelensky committed to pursue the investigations. Now, with all due respect, Ambassador, your clear understanding was obviously wrong, because it didn't happen. President Zelensky didn't announce he was going to investigate Burisma or the Bidens. He didn't do a press conference and say, I'm going to investigate the Bidens. We're going to investigate Burisma. He didn't tweet about it. And you just told the ranking member he didn't do the CNN interview and announce he's going to investigate Burisma or the Bidens. So three face-to-face meetings. It doesn't come up. No linkage whatsoever. President Zelensky doesn't announce it before the aid is released on the 11th. And yet you said you have a clear understanding that those two things were going to happen. The money was going to get released, but not until there was an investigation. And that, in fact, didn't happen. So what I'm wondering is, where did you get this clear understanding?
As I testified, Ms. Jordan, this came from Ambassador Sondland.
Well, can you hold 1 second, Ambassador? I'm going to bring you a piece of paper from Ambassador Sondland's statement.
Very good.
And you can take a look at this. Go ahead, though. I'm going to let you finish.
So, Ms. Jordan, should I read this or?
I just want you to have it because I'm going to read it.
Oh, very good, very good. Great.
Yeah, but I want you to go ahead and finish. You said, Ambassador, you got this from Ambassador Sondland.
That is correct. Ambassador Sondland also said that he had talked to President Zelensky and Mr. Yermak and had told them that although this was not a quid pro quo, if President Zelensky did not clear things up in public, we would be at a stalemate. That was one point.
All right, so basically what Congressman Jordan is trying to prove is that the Democrats are saying that the president committed some terrible impeachable offense in this phone call. They are claiming that he threatened to withhold much needed, and they spent a lot of time talking about that yesterday. Ukraine is our ally. They are so important, and they have been under attack by Russia, and they're so desperate for aid. And the president, the inference is, the president withheld the aid just to help him politically attack Joe Biden, for the Ukrainians to go after Joe Biden. When you read the transcript of the call, that's really not the context. The president does at the end say, oh, by the way, could you please look into that Joe Biden, Hunter Biden thing, which we'll talk about in a minute. By the way, Adam Schiff won't allow any discussion of what that thing is, but we're going to talk about it a little bit. But the Democrats keep wanting to make the case that the president has done something impeachable because they're claiming he withheld aid from Ukraine to help himself politically. But the truth is he didn't. The aid was stopped for 55 days. The president said publicly on more than one occasion that he felt the Europeans should be helping Ukraine as much as we are. They're closer there. They are in just as much danger as anyone from Russia. Why aren't they helping? This is consistent with President Trump's view of our spending on foreign policy. This is very consistent. The truth is also, I want you to hear George Conway, who's Kellyanne's husband. And of course, you all know that he's embarrassed Kellyanne terribly because he hates the president. He was on with on MSNBC yesterday, and I want you to hear how George characterizes what the president did. This is clip 14.
This thing that's happening in another part of the world matters a lot, not just to Ukraine, but as Ambassador Taylor said, they are our strategic partner, right? Ukrainian national security interests are our national security interests. What's happening there matters a lot, right, to NATO, to Western Europe, to Eastern Europe, to the future of the Atlantic Alliance, and people
goes
are,
to the credibility of the United States of America, right, standing up for the values that the United States of America we thought stood for.
But I believe Ambassador Taylor and Mr. Kent made it very clear that we have significant national security interests in this part of the world, and the President of the United States was leveraging that for personal political gain. That is, in George's word, astonishing.
It's astonishing, and it's just a direct violation of his oath of office. It's foundational. And that this is the ultimate, these are the words that we used when we wrote that op-ed, when the scandal first broke, Neil. It's the ultimate impeachable offense. You can't, if you were going to make up a set of facts that was as bad as you could get, this would be it.
Like a law school test.
Let me
interrupt because we're running out of time. But the point is, the president did not withhold aid. The aid came. In fact, this president actually gave aid to Ukraine, hard weapons. Whereas Barack Obama, considering the concern they just showed about Ukraine when they were under attack from Russia, gave them blankets. That was it. That's the truth.
Hi, it's Michael with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. I met 14-year-old Ahmed earlier this year in the Middle East. At 12, he had been recruited to be a suicide bomber. His dad died fighting for ISIS. His mother and seven siblings were radicals, but they embraced the gospel. And when they did, he viewed them as infidels and wanted them dead. But his mom prayed nonstop for his salvation. It came, and when it did, he was beaten nearly to death by the radicals he hung around with. When he and I met earlier this year, he was able to open his Arabic Bible and see where Jesus says, "They'll hate you because they hated me first." But with tears in his eyes, he said, "Michael, there's hundreds of young guys like me going to kill themselves in the name of Allah. We need to save them." And he's led dozens to Christ in a place where they need the Bible. Would you join us in this wonderful work to support the persecuted church?
Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YESWORD. That's 800-YES-WORD. Or click sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Lynn Johnson, Assistant Secretary in the Administration for Children and Families. Timothy 3:5 reminds us of the importance of caring for one's family. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Lynn Johnson as she works on behalf of the American family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. This Christmas season, send a prayer or Christmas greeting to President Trump and his family. Your message will be delivered straight to the Oval Office. It's fun, easy, and it's free. Learn how at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Stephen Nichols fought for this country during the Korean War. He's 84 years old, been a licensed gun owner for six decades. When his wife passed away, Mr. Nichols volunteered as a cross guard at Tisbury School. The other day, he was chatting with a friend at a nearby diner. He complained about the school's resource officer. Apparently, the officer left his post on a regular basis and took coffee breaks. Mr. Nichols feared students might be in danger. Well, a waitress overheard that conversation, overreacted, and called police. By the end of the day, Mr. Nichols had been relieved of his volunteer duties, and the police department showed up at his house to confiscate his weapons. An American war veteran was relieved of his job and his guns over a conversation taken out of context. Remember that the next time a lawmaker advocates for red flag laws. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you, and yes, we're going to open the phone lines. And the phone number, if you watched the hearings yesterday and there was something notable that you saw or a question that you have that I'll try to answer, or just some common observation, I'd also be interested to know, are you persuaded by the arguments of the Democrats? Is there something that's unclear to you? Where you kind of wonder, did the president do something that might be impeachable? Let's talk about that. Or, you know, whatever your thoughts, your honest thoughts, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Just to clarify something that I had to rush in the last minute there, I want to make something really clear. The charge that was made by George Conway and Chuck Rosenberg at that MSNBC clip was that of course, Ukraine has come under attack by Russia. Remember, they took Crimea. It was terrible during the Obama years, and Obama did nothing. It was appalling what he didn't do. He helped the Russians by not helping Ukraine. He sent in blankets. That's honestly what he did. Instead of weaponry or any kind of aid, they sent in, like, blankets. I'll never forget that, and maybe you remember it as well. So while they are opining about the needs of the Ukrainians in their battle against the Russians, the truth is that after a 55-day halt on the aid to Ukraine, while the president was considering a lot of things, they ended up giving Ukraine tremendous help militarily against the Russians, weaponry that Barack Obama never gave them. That's the fact. And so it's really just an argument about a puff of smoke. It truly, truly is. Conan O'Brien, who I don't generally, I never watch because I'm not up that late, he made a statement last night that I think really finally applying his humor to the perspective that is really the true perspective. Let's listen.
Of course, the Republicans are trying to mount a defense. Republican Congressman Mike Turner said that the Constitution does not admit hearsay. Yeah. Turner then admitted he doesn't know that firsthand. It's just something he heard somewhere. Today, the new evidence against President Trump was called damning. Some say this could end his presidency. No, I'm sorry. This joke is from 2 years ago. That joke is also from 1 year ago. Yeah. And 6 months ago. We've used that cue card like 15 times.
That's Groundhog Day, the cue card.
Yeah,
so, you know, you get the point. Even Conan is laughing at the Democrats' continual efforts to impeach the president and saying, we've got him this time. This is something really terrible. This is the worst thing he's ever done. No one's ever done anything as bad or as wicked as President Trump or as impeachable. Here we go again. And Conan is mocking them, and rightly so. Yesterday, during the hearing, because the whole issue of the fact that the two witnesses that testified did not hear the phone call, they're testifying to things that they heard. And so Mike Quigley, I believe Ohio, congressman from Ohio, weighed in with this brilliant remark. Very interesting for any of you that work in a court of law. Let's listen to clip 9.
I think the American public needs to be reminded that countless people have been convicted on hearsay because the courts have routinely allowed and created needed exceptions to hearsay. Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct, as we have learned in painful instances, and it's certainly valid in this sense.
So, in other words, those of you who might be dragged into court, whether it's divorce proceeding or allegation against you personally, somebody who just heard something is the better testimony than somebody who was actually there. That's what Mike Quigley's saying. And, of course, that sets up the interaction with Jim Jordan and Ambassador Bill Taylor. And I do want you to hear this. It takes about 4 minutes, so that's a little bit of time, but I think it's worth it. And then I'm going to go to the phone lines. Let's listen. This is Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan, talking to Ambassador Bill Taylor.
Ambassador Sondland also told me that he recognized that it was a mistake to have told the Ukrainians that only the meeting with the president in the Oval Office was held up on the in order to get these investigations. No, it was not just the meeting. It was also the security system. That is, everything was. So those two discussions.
No, I understand.
Okay.
All right. So again, just to recap, you had three meetings with President Zelensky. No linkage in those three meetings came up. Ambassador Zelensky didn't announce that he was going to do any investigation of the Bidens or Burisma's before the aid was released. He didn't do a tweet, didn't do anything on CNN, didn't do any of that. President Zelensky, excuse me. And then what you have in front of you is an addendum that Mr. Sondland made to his testimony that we got a couple weeks ago. It says, Declaration of Ambassador Gordon Sondland. I, Gordon Sondland, do hereby swear and affirm as follows. I want you to look at bullet point number two, second sentence. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. Now, this is his clarification. Let me read it one more time. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. We got six people having four conversations in one sentence, and you just told me this is where you got your clear understanding. Which, I mean, even though you had three opportunities with President Zelensky for him to tell you, you know what,
We're going to do these investigations to get the aid. Didn't tell you three different times. Never makes an announcement. Never tweets about it. Never does a CNN interview. Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about, as far as I know.
And President
there was no reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness. You're their first witness.
Mr.
You're
Jordan.
The guy. You're the guy based on this. Based on, I mean, I've seen church prayer chains that are easier to understand than this. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told. Now, again, this is I hereby swear and affirm from Gordon Sondland. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmouk on September 1st, 20. This all happens, by the way. This all happens, by the way, in Warsaw, where Vice President Pence meets with President Zelensky. And guess what?
Taylor,
they didn't talk about any linkage either.
Time of the gentleman's expired. Ambassador Taylor, would you like to respond?
The only response, I have two responses, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and Mr. Jordan, glad to take those questions. Let me just say that I don't consider myself a star witness for anything.
They do. You don't.
No, I don't. I'm responding to your questions.
Please don't interrupt the witness.
As I think I was clear about, I'm not here to take one side or the other or to advocate any particular outcome. So let me just restate that. Second thing is that my understanding is only coming from people that I talk to.
We got that.
I think this clarification from Ambassador Sondland was because he said he didn't remember this in his first deposition. So he wanted to kind of clarify. But I think, Mr. Jordan, the way I read this, he remembers it the same way I do.
Yeah, and it's real clear, right?
It's very clear.
Thank you. Thank you, Ambassador Taylor.
All right. So that was the second part of Congressman Jordan's interaction with Bill Taylor. All right. So now I want to know what you think. I mean, I've played selective clips. It lasted 8 hours, so there was a lot more to it. And I did not get to watch it. I just got to see clips because of the business that I was conducting yesterday. So you, in many ways, will be telling me things that I don't know because I couldn't possibly have seen all of it. And so I really want to know what you think about what you saw and what you heard. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Katarina in Virginia. Good morning, Katarina.
Good morning. How are you, Sandy?
Good, good. So you watched it, huh?
I did. I actually was fortunate enough to be ill yesterday. So I sat down and I said, I have time now. And I actually watched it. And that piece you played with Jim Jordan actually is the one area that really made me sit up and take note. I thought that was so, so clearly done, so well, laid out that, you know, the questions that he was asking just made it clear to me as a citizen. I mean, I'm a mom. I follow this stuff, but I'm no expert, but it just made it very clear, in trying to figure all this out. That it's a he said. Therefore, we should impeach the president. And as a Latina, I'm nonpartisan. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. But I love this president, and I support him. And I've been looking to honestly see if this is something that he should be impeached for. I thought, wow, did he really do something wrong? And from everything I saw, it just seemed to be more like a dog and pony show, a Democrat effort. And I say this, my family, my dad's side, they're all Democrats, really to impeach this president. But I really like what this president has been doing and in the terms of, supporting the family, supporting, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the pro-life movement. I love what this president's doing. Never mind the economy. My goodness. I don't know why the American people are sitting back and watching this go by and allowing this to happen to this president that's working so hard for our country.
Well, and just interesting that you see it that way, Katarina, given your family has views on it, and also given the fact that, so many, I think a lot of Hispanic Americans dislike the president a lot. See if you agree with this, because they aren't great English speakers, and they're not hearing all the information that you obviously understand because you are a good English speaker. Do you think that's part of it?
I think they're working hard, and I don't think they have time to catch anything but news clips.
Okay, well, that's good, fair enough.
That's
well,
then. But, you know, I don't think, you know, language may be the entire barrier. You know, I think that there's also cultural barriers that when you're here, like when we came, I came here when I was 7 or 8 years old, and my dad said, you know, I'm a Democrat. He's like, this is why we support the Democrat Party. But what I try to explain to him today is, Dad, today's Democrat Party is not what you knew back in the 80s. You know,
exactly.
It's not the same thing, and they don't stand for the same thing. So Latinos need to wake up. Yep. And really realize that our values no longer align with the Democrat Party.
Katarina, well said. You know, I got into a really interesting conversation with a cab driver from Eritrea yesterday, and he was listening to NPR, listening to the hearings. And so as soon as I got in the cab, I said, what's going on? Of course, he's not going to weigh in politically because he's a cab driver and he doesn't know where I stand. But he basically said it didn't sound good for the president. And then we started talking about the president, and I just told him, I said, look, he's doing great things for this country. He's doing great things for cab drivers in Washington, D.C. He said, how is that? You know, and I said, look, if the left wins, it's going to be all-out socialism. And that's not going to be good for you. It's not a free market system, and it's not going to be good for your children. So I was trying to make the case to him. But, Katarina, I think one of the big things that needs to be said and communicated to the Hispanic community is what's happening, going to be happening, is happening now in public schools with the graphic sex education. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but I do think that's a window to explain to them how really horrible the left is and why the president, if love him or hate him, is standing in the way of this horrible agenda they have for the future of this country. So you might want to consider looking into that and using that as a gateway to talk to your family. Listen, thanks. I appreciate your report on this. Thank you so much, North Carolina. Karna. Good morning, Karna.
Good morning. Good morning.
So what did you think?
So I took a lot of time yesterday and did listen to a lot of it. And when I was listening to Mr. Taylor's opening case, I thought, oh, there's stuff in there that doesn't look good for Trump. But it was all hearsay, which Jim Jordan revealed very clearly in his when he got to speak. But when Mr. Taylor was being questioned by the other side, his whole demeanor changed, and he became, to me, very, very uncomfortable. He seemed to be hemming and hawing and admitted to the fact that it was hearsay, and it changed. His confidence was gone. And the whole thing of this, the hypocrisy of this whole situation, and when you go back to when President Trump was inaugurated, they already wanted him gone. They wanted him gone long before he became president. And yet, those of us who know clearly where the real source of the problem of the Ukraine, and when it goes back to Hillary Clinton and that whole setup, it just makes me sick of how they cannot stand to have a president who stands for this country that they want to tear down and totally change, starting with Mr. Obama. He was going to bring us change, and that's all these people are about, continuing that change. And yet we have a president who makes me feel like I have a president again, who cares about me. But yesterday's hearing wasn't good for the Democrats, and I just hope the American people can wake up, open their minds and hearts to truth, that we don't lose this man in 2020.
Yeah. Okay, Karna, well said, and thanks for your call. All right, and we're going to come back with all of your calls, as many as I can get in. 888-589-8840. I am interested. In fact, if any of you see it differently, I put you to the top of the list. Because I would love to, you know, it's like asking, it's kind of the principle of like asking questions about God. You can dare to ask all these questions. There's nothing wrong with examining what the president did and trying to figure out if there is something here we should be concerned about. There's no shame in that, and that's what we're doing. All right. Phone number is 888-589-8840, and this is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The day after the Democrat Party solidified their majority in the state legislature, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam held a cabinet meeting where he announced his intentions to work aggressively to implement his extreme anti-gun agenda, now that his party controlled the state legislature. When asked about confiscating guns from law-abiding citizens, Northam responded, "That's something I'm working on with our Secretary of Public Safety." Elections have consequences. With the 2020 census on the horizon, the state of Virginia and the nation at large has to face the consequences of Virginia's electoral decisions.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I love that you're saying Merry Christmas. But what's Christmas all about?
Oh, man, it's about presents and family and love and...
Well, yeah, but it's really about Jesus. He came for you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man.
Wear and share the AFA Christmas button to remind people about Jesus. He came for you. Visit afastore.net to order in packs of 10. Order before December 12th to make sure you get your buttons before Christmas. That's afastore.net.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. We have learned that the whistleblowiator who started this shampeachment wasn't a witness to anything he accused the president of. Another accuser, the ambassador to Ukraine, wasn't even on the phone call. Another accuser says he's not sure the president did anything illegal. Another accuser believes Trump did it because he heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody else who heard it from somebody else. Let's remember that President Obama used a quid pro quo with Ukraine when he made financial aid dependent upon Ukraine making reforms to deal with corruption. The impeachment case against Trump is completely falling apart on the Democrats, and the public hearings will demonstrate that to everyone. Maybe we're impeaching the wrong man. Perhaps we should be impeaching Adam Schiff for the high crime of trying to convict an innocent man.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Welcome to the swamp. Everyone who endured the first of the House impeachment hearings yesterday was given an important civics lesson. They saw through the testimony of two senior U.S. diplomats, the fourth branch of our government, at work. If you learned in school that there were only three, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary, welcome to the reality of the Trump administration, in which a hostile, permanent bureaucracy actively seeks to check and balance and even subvert the duly elected President of the United States. In particular, Foreign Service officers are notorious for currying favor with their clients overseas rather than putting America first. Bureaucrats, especially State Department ones, may prefer their own foreign policy to the president's, but they are not entitled to sabotage his, either through political warfare inside their agencies or through impeachment proceedings in Congress. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The impeachment hearing. Today we got live testimony from Bill Taylor, who's the top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine, and George Kent of the State Department. They did not paint a flattering portrait of our president, and his bootlickers in the House didn't look too good either. It really was something. Devin Nunes set the stupid bar to start it off. Then John Ratcliffe of Texas topped it immediately. Then Chris Stewart of Utah came in and took the stupid crown for himself. And just when you thought that's it, we've reached the bottom level of human intelligence, in comes Jim Jordan from Ohio to take gold. People were actually laughing at him during the hearing. There he is, sporting his quid pro comb-over for the occasion.
Portion, of course, of what he said last night. But ironically, you noticed he didn't play any of the clips of the interactions of those men he said were stupid. He didn't dare do that. He just made fun of them and really exposed himself for the liar that he is. I just thought that was interesting. Meanwhile, on CNN, Jeff Tobin, who's been there for years, he's sort of their legal expert, said something pretty amazing. Let's listen.
Because the one criticism of these two witnesses, which I think is very much legitimate, it's not really a criticism, it's just a factual statement, is that neither of them had direct contact with the president.
Ever.
Ever. And, yeah. And you know, that's a problem if you're going to impeach the president.
That's on CNN, so I just think that's noteworthy. All right, I want to know what you think. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Rebecca. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Sandy. And Frank Gaffney just now said something wonderful. The fourth branch of government, they are inserting their own beliefs. They're not carrying President Trump's foreign policy. They're trying to, by hook and crook, carry their own. When they were advising the president of Ukraine to say back to President Trump, "I'll leave no stone unturned in my investigations," they helped him with that wording. They're advising him. Are they our ambassadors or are they Ukraine's ambassadors? That's what got to me. And President Trump promised to shake up the way things are done with our foreign policy and with everything. America first. That isn't their game plan. It leaves them, you know, speechless. They can't understand. And you said that President Obama was helping Ukraine with blankets. Well, yep. One more thing. He gave them MREs, you know, the dried food.
So, oh, that's right. That's right.
Trump gave the real help.
Yeah, Rebecca, and, you know, just an observation here. Look, I've been saying for a long time at this microphone that there were people inside the White House subverting and undermining the president. Everybody knows that now. And Nikki Haley just came out and, you know, did this book talking about Tillis and John Kelly, how they pulled her aside and tried to get them to work with her against, it was for the sake of the country. When President Trump would tell them to do something, they would do the opposite. That happened all the time. And so now you hear the ambassador and the deputy assistant secretary of state verifying that. And so now we can be pretty sure that this is exactly what was going on. And it does beg the question, who do they think they are? Who do they think they are? And now that we've had a few years with President Trump as our president, we've seen that he's done a great job, really, with foreign policy. As erratic as some people may think that it is, it's been very effective. And we could go in detail in that, but I don't want to right now. But Rebecca, thanks for pointing out even more detail. Thank you. Let's go to Glennis in Alabama. Good morning, Glennis.
Hi. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. It's all the girls who stayed home and listened yesterday.
Well, I do work part-time outside the house, but I'm in the house a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So what did you think?
Oh, and just to let you know, I love AFR, and I love your show, and I listen on 89.1.
Oh, well, thank you, Glennis.
But anyway, yes, from the time I was able to watch it and listen to it, then what I basically got from those two men is that they were putting their own opinions in. They were making statements, I believe, I think, this is what I know, nothing firsthand. And so it was clearly stated from, I believe it was Mr. Jordan or someone that you cannot base this on hearsay. It has to be factual. And neither one of these men had factual information. And so, anyway, then the other thing, so I would just believe that this whole thing that the Democrats are doing is a charade. It's a farce.
Glennis, let me ask you a question, though. You think that, and you listen to AFR, and
yes.
I think that. But what about friends and neighbors? What do you think they think?
Well, most of my friends and neighbors, I think, are for President Trump. I mean, I don't survey each one, but, you know, and the ones who that I do encounter, then I give facts to back up my position why I'm from Trump.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, that's the thing.
Go ahead. The thing about President Trump, because there was another thing they were like saying, he's trying to do this Joe Biden, his son, what is his son's name again?
Hunter.
They're trying to make this out like it's out to get Joe Biden and Hunter why he was having this conversation with the Ukrainian President Zelensky. It was not. President Trump has worked feverishly to make America great again, to keep America great, and to get rid of corruption. And so I feel like this is what he's trying to do, get rid of corruption, because we have way too much of it.
Yeah, Glennis, thank you so much. Let me just point out that there are new memos now released last week that reveal that Burisma Holdings, which is that energy company out of Ukraine, pressured that Hunter Biden's company, Burisma Holdings, pressured the Obama State Department to help in corruption, the corruption investigation during the 2016 election cycle, just 1 month before then Vice President Joe Biden forced Ukraine to fire Viktor Shokin. Remember that clip I played for you? I'm not going to pause to do it, but Biden is bragging about how I told them, and he's cursing. He's talking before the Council on Foreign Relations, bragging about how he told them they weren't going to get any of that money if they didn't fire that prosecutor. The prosecutor was investigating his son, Hunter. And Hunter was, meanwhile, frantically trying to pressure the Obama State Department to pressure Ukraine to drop that investigation. We know that now. And we also know that the Ukrainian officials just released records of 46 payments to Hunter Biden from Burisma Holdings. 38 payments were for $83,333, the total over $3.1 million. Now, my understanding is he got a lot more money than that, but that's just the latest finding. All right, just dropping that in. That won't be probably coming up in the hearing because Adam Schiff won't let that be discussed. But that was the kind of stuff that needed to be looked into by Ukraine. Let's go to Tawana in Virginia. Good morning, Tawana.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. All right, so what do you think?
Well, I think the hearing yesterday, they just totally confirmed that the whole thing is just political. They're just doing this to get some sound bites for ads for next year's campaign. They know that it's not going to end in an actual impeachment or removal of the president from office. It's just a political game that they're playing to see what they can dig up to put into the news, because they count on their constituents to not be knowledgeable and to believe whatever they say.
Yeah, Tawana, that's all right. Obviously, you have a lot of knowledge. I mean, it's obvious from that comment that you know a lot and you're watching a lot. But how about friends and neighbors? Seriously, how do you think this is playing in other households, maybe where people are not clued in quite as much as maybe you are?
Well, for my friends and neighbors, my neighbors pretty much, I think, are kind of on board. But a lot of my family and friends, being a Black American, are looking for something that they can grab hold to try to unseat the president. So this may be a little fodder for their game, but I'm hoping that they'll be able to see through this and see the truth for once.
Yeah.
I fight an uphill battle every day.
I'm sure you do. I just read, by the way, one of the things I do, well, never mind, doesn't matter. I read a lot, but I was just reading that there's a study that shows that people that are buying new homes are more afraid of buying a home next to a Trump supporter than like a drug dealer. It has it all broken down because oh, they wow. somehow they think, you know, we're horrible, we're deplorables, we're horrible, no good people, and they're afraid to live next to us. It was just an interesting study, so I'm sure it applies to family and friends too. Taiwana, thanks a lot. Let's go to Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Yes.
Okay, so what do you think?
Well, I think this is really, if we take a step back and look, this is a fantastic opportunity for us to get back on track. Had Trump not won that election, the average American would not really understand the level of corruption that has been taking place in D.C. for so long. And the more the Democrats continue to talk and play their games, the more they expose themselves for who they really are. So I think it's great that this is happening in front of a live audience. And you can see any time that there's any evidence that's ready to be presented, many times Schiff would cut him off and say, yes, unanimous consent, just go ahead and introduce that into the record, instead of letting them go ahead and expound on the point they were getting ready to make. He doesn't want that on live television, anything that would look good or in favor of the president. So this whole thing really is working out in President Trump's favor.
Yeah, Jerry, thanks a lot. Very good observation. You know, I've said that also about more broadly, what's happening in the culture. The left is getting crazy. And the people are seeing through the Democratic candidates just how far they want to take this country, just where they are on law enforcement and police and abortion and sex education in public schools. Really, they are rolling back. They are revealing and showing us who they really are as a response to the persona of Donald Trump. And that, too, I think has been doing us a great favor, Jerry, to awaken people to what's really, really happening. Thanks a lot. Great observation. Let's go to Ann in Virginia. Good morning, Ann.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. What do you think about all this?
Well, my question is, I totally think when I watched it yesterday, about the second half is what I got to see, that it's clearly drawn on party lines. I mean, there's just... it's like night and day, the way that people are looking at this. But my question for you is, can you speak to why they are assuming that this is for political gain when we're talking about corruption in this government? Well, what about the corruption in our government? And in my mind, he's asking them to, for whatever reason or however it's being done, to investigate this because it was while Joe Biden was vice president of our country that this happened. And to me, that speaks to corruption in our government that we're trying to get rid of and to root out. And so I'm just wondering why they're not looking at it like that way.
Well, and that's that's a very good point. That is a very good point, Ann. And I haven't heard anybody else say that, but your point is well taken. I think to reiterate what I've said before, but it needs maybe to be reiterated, the two things to my recollection in the actual transcription of that phone call from several sources was that he asked them to look into, again, CrowdStrike, which was that server that held the Democratic National Convention's and Hillary Clinton's email and was leaked by WikiLeaks. And then CrowdStrike was the company that the Democrats allowed to go in and try to discern who leaked that. And CrowdStrike announces that it's Russia. It was Russia who did that. So that is the whole, this is the linchpin of the left's move against President Trump, that he was a Russian mole. He was working with Russia. It was Russia who hacked our elections. It was Russia, Russia, Russia. And it all emanated from that CrowdStrike declaration that Russia was the one that hacked those. That's why there is such a vociferous attempt to shut down the investigation on the Ukraine side and to change the subject and accuse Donald Trump of trying to withhold aid so that they can do a political investigation that will benefit President Trump. It's really a distortion because the truth is we need to know what happened and how deep, as you said, Anne, the corruption in our government has been. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.